Farnaz Fasihi recently left Iraq after 3 years of covering the war for the Wall Street Journal. In the fall of 2004, she sent an email to friends about her frustrations with the conditions that limited her coverage of Iraq. That email wound up being more discussed than any of her articles for the Journal, and it seemed to give other journalists an opening to talk about their own issues. Upon leaving Iraq, she signed off with a long and personal piece that ran in the weekend edition of her paper. She joins me now on the phone from her new assignment in Beirut to talk about that piece and about covering what she called the story of her generation. Farnaz, welcome to On the Media.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, forgive me for not quoting from the Saturday piece and going to the old email from 2 years ago, but it's so compact. And I just want to read a few sentences here. It says, I avoid going to people's homes and never walk in the streets. I can't go grocery shopping anymore, can't eat in restaurants, can't strike a conversation with strangers, can't look for stories, can't drive in anything but a fully armored car, can't go to scenes of breaking news stories, can't be stuck in traffic, can't speak English outside, can't take a road trip, can't say I'm an American, can't linger at checkpoints, can't be curious about what people are saying, doing, feeling, and can't, and can't. Now, this sounds like the ultimate expression of a reporter's frustration. I gather the situation didn't improve in the intervening 2 years.
I think that it's gone up and down, but generally I would say that things have not changed much from what you just quoted. I wrote that email right when things were changing. It was incredibly frustrating because we had just gone from being able to fully operate within a couple of months to being almost imprisoned.
The piece that I read in the Journal this week begins with just the most chilling detail. You're talking about how you're preparing to say all your goodbyes in Iraq and that you've got a party scheduled and you're going to go individually and meet colleagues. Mm-hmm. But in the end, your security advisors say, no, don't do it. There are rumors that insurgents want to kidnap a female American journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And you canceled your plans.
Right.
So you left Iraq, and then arriving back in the United States, you read of the abduction of Jill Carroll. Tell me about that.
The initial report didn't say it was Jill, and I immediately called colleagues in Baghdad to find out who it was. And when I found out, it was just devastating. And I knew what my colleagues were doing. You just drop whatever you're doing, and you get on the phone, and you try to do anything in your ability to help your colleague. You know, I called our office manager in Baghdad, and I instructed him to call all of our best sources in the Iraqi government on my behalf and ask them as a personal favor to do anything they can to help Jill.
Now, Jill Carroll is a correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor. We're having this conversation on Wednesday with her fate hanging at the whims of her captors. I want to ask you again about the obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
For now 2 years, it's been very clear that reporters simply can't go out on the field and report the way they're accustomed to doing it.
Right.
Often you're reduced to using third parties, Iraqi journalists, going to do your legwork, and then you work from essentially secondhand reporting.
Right.
As you look back, is it worth it?
Bob, we're the only independent observers of this war. If it weren't for us, the world would rely on the governments to give them information of how things are going, or the military. I think it's certainly not the most gratifying way of doing our jobs, but I still think it's hugely important that we maintain as independent observers and try to tell the story of what's happening there in our best ability.
You spent, all told, approximately 3 years in Iraq from before Saddam was toppled to the present.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a possibility that 3 years working under those conditions somehow colors your journalistic perceptions in a way that you lose your journalistic distance?
I was fortunate to be there around the first year where I could travel freely and really get to know the country. So I think that really worked to my advantage. I think it was a unique war for journalists because the barrier that separates you as an independent journalist and the war and the danger dissolved in Iraq. We were just as much a target. Where we lived came under target. We were kidnapped. We had no immunity. Sometimes it felt like nobody saw value to having reporters there. So I think that part of it was difficult to try to work around that challenge.
When you read criticism of the press in general, that it is somehow so fixated on bad news that it doesn't report the good, that it's essentially suppressing the good news out of Iraq. What do you all say to one another? How do you react?
I can just say that if there were 5 car bombs going off in New York and 50 people kidnapped a day, I'm sure that Metro reporters would be writing those stories and not talking about the school that was painted. When you're sitting in Iraq and putting your neck on the line to try to bring as balanced a story as possible, it's very frustrating to hear criticism like that, because you know as a professional reporter that the only reason you're there is because you want to convey the truth. And I can say that everyone is trying to go out their extra mile to find out exactly what's happening there, good or bad, to try to find progress, obstacles, frustrations. And I think considering, we've done a pretty good job. I'm proud of what my colleagues have achieved.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Farnaz Fasihi is senior Middle East correspondent for The Wall Street Journal.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.